where is the boundary between marketing and medical education? And at what point does a corporation become responsible? Those are the questions posed by Kenneth Kipnis of the University of Hawaii at Manoa. His article, Impairing Loyalty, Corporate Responsibility for a Clinical Misadventure, appears in the September 2011 issue of the American Journal of Bioethics. Professor Kipnis joins us now from Honolulu. In this article, you share a story about a woman facing medical choices about a uterine fibroid condition and a physician who directs her to a choice that benefits the doctor financially and doesn't tell the woman about it. Is that the story in a nutshell?
It's a little more complicated than that. The physician has a financial relationship with the corporation that is manufacturing the device he is intending to use in the surgical procedure to remove the fibroids. This operation is going to be broadcast live to an assemblage of OBGYNs meeting at a convention in a distant city. And so essentially the operation becomes an infomercial, as it were, with the physician playing the product demonstrator. You know, I keep thinking of the Ginsu knife commercials where they're slicing tomatoes using the Ginsu knives. The guy is really amazing in the use of those knives. But here, the part of the tomato is being played by a patient and without her understanding, without her knowledge.
In this scenario, then, the doctor is presenting a device and is being paid by a company to promote it through this procedure.
That's correct. He's being paid quite a bit, actually, more than he would receive from any one of his patients. And it's a continuing job for the corporation, for him. And so it's a continuing employment kind of thing. As long as he reliably provides these operations using the procedure, he still gets a hefty amount from the corporation on an annual basis.
What are the ethical questions we're talking about here?
Well, the one I was interested in, the critical thing here is that the operation that the patient received was not the one she should have received. She should have had a much more definitive procedure because she was at elevated risk for ovarian cancer, and for patients who are at elevated risk for ovarian cancer, you want to give consideration to surgical removal of the ovaries and uterus all at once, hysterectomy, oophorectomy. But the doctor doesn't do that. If he had chosen that, he wouldn't have been able to use the medical device manufactured by this company. So his choice, the terrible thing here is the choice, does the choice reflect his financial arrangement with the company, or is it really just a bad judgment on his part, or is that kind of question really unknowable? I'm actually not interested in the doctor here. Okay? I was an expert witness in a case a lot like the one that I described in the paper. And the question that was put to me is there a way that it can be established that the corporation, in setting up this contract with the doctor, was at least in part responsible for the death of the patient. The patient dies not because it was a botched operation, but because it wasn't the operation she should have received. It was the operation that the corporation needed in order to demonstrate the device, but the doctor did not press the patient to consider what was the operation that she should have had. And so my question, the one that I was asked was, is the corporation ethically responsible for the death of the patient? This is a new question, by the way. I think this is a new question. It's unfamiliar. I don't think there's a lot of literature on precisely this kind of responsibility.
In the article, you discuss the concepts of dual agent and conflict of interest. Talk about that, if you would, please, and what it means to a patient.
Conflict of interest arises in conjunction with certain relationships that rely upon trust. For example, journalism is one, and the judges, judiciary is another, and accounting is a third. Law is yet another one. Lawyers are very sensitive to conflicts of interest. And doctors, although doctors, I think, know a lot less about it than lawyers, for example. It's something lawyers have to know they're going to practice law. It's not something necessarily that doctors have to know about. And a conflict of interest is a relationship you have with some kind of external party. As I understand it, which relationship calls into question the disinterestedness of the judgment or the advice that you're giving the client. It's as if I'm your stockbroker and I'm being paid a huge bonus if I get you to buy the stock. Okay, and so I've got a conflict of interest, because if you knew about it, you would know that I was going to make a lot of money if I managed to succeed in buying this particular.
You mentioned in the article that in the face of this background, this loyalty, as you put it, it might not be knowable whether the erroneous recommendation was an honest mistake or a dishonest one.
Yeah, see, I think that's, there are two issues here. Can I know what my motivation is? Am I recommending the stock because it's great stock and a great buy? Or am I recommending the stock because I have a boat payment to make or a mortgage payment to make? And if I get you to buy it, I'm going to be able to pay my bills this month. Okay? I may not know the answer to the question. I may not know. My livelihood might depend on my not thinking about this too hard. Okay? Yeah. So I don't like the idea of probing motives. The question that I think is much more useful and helpful in looking at conflicts of interest is to ask, would if, from the point of view of a third party, okay, would the fact that I was going to receive large amounts of money from recommending the stock call into question the disinterestedness of my recommendation to buy it? Likewise, would the bare fact that I have an ongoing relationship with this company that wants me to use its device in medical procedures, would, if people knew about it, that this company was paying for me to use this device in its medical procedures, call into question the disinterestedness of my judgment and recommendation that this was the operation you needed rather than some other one not requiring the use of the device? And I think that it's hard for any third party to look at this and say that the fact that I have this relationship, that I'm receiving money from this party, doesn't call into question.
You identify three arguments for corporate responsibility in this case. Summarize those, if you would, please.
Okay, the discussion of those three arguments really tracks a lot of thinking that I devoted to this problem. Can the corporation be held responsible to some degree for the death of the patient? You can understand the doctor to be an agent of the corporation, and I worked through some issues with that and decided basically that analysis is not going to work, or at least it will. I've had some lawyers tell me it does. At least if it will, it's going to take more work than I was able to do. The second is a partnership. And a partner, the neat thing about partners is that they share in the positive benefits of their partnership, but also share in the adverse effects that they cause. And so if that's the name of the relationship, then partnership would make the corporation responsible for this adverse event. There are problems with that one also. And I could see after a while the difficulty was discerning the precise nature of the relationship between the corporation and the doctor. But if you forget about the relationship and just ask, do contracts like this undermine physician loyalty to patients? And over the years, can we suspect diminished loyalty in the patients to increase the likelihood of very bad outcomes? Then it seems to me it's a lot easier. What the corporation has done is to create a hazardous condition, a condition which is likely to result in patient injury over time, and indeed exactly the kind of patient injury that happened in this case. So for that reason, I would want to hold, it's a reasonably foreseeable consequence of the incentive systems that the corporation sets up for its thought leaders that it wants to demonstrate its.
Ultimately, then, you conclude the doctor and the company bear responsibility, that there was a foreseeable consequence with this marketing effort.
That's right. The marketing efforts, I think, if this is the way corporations do business, then you can expect that patients won't be receiving the operations that they want, and that is the operations that they need, excuse me, and that as a consequence of that, patients will suffer. It's a lot like product liability. If an automobile manufacturer puts together an automobile with bad brakes or a faulty wheel, you don't know who it's going to hurt or damage. What you do know is over the life of the product, the brake or the wheel is going to fail, and then as a consequence of that, somebody may be injured or killed. So you're able to trace back the injury to a foreseeable choice that the corporation made in the design of the wheel or the brake. Okay. Here, the corporation is distributing contracts to thought leaders, which contracts impair the doctor-patient relationship in ways that can be predicted impair the quality of health care delivered to individual patients.
Professor Kipnis, if such legal judgments against corporations become more commonplace, how would that change this environment, these relationships between corporations and doctors and patients?
I think I'm not the one to ask about the legal implications of this, but a part of me was kind of hoping that courts might look more carefully at the design of corporations. If corporations are being are constructed, organizations are constructed to reward extreme risk-taking, which places the public at hazard. But we need to figure out better ways of organizing corporations and corporate practices so that the public interest is protected. But that's going to involve, I think, long-term, some pretty careful thinking about organizational structures.
Kenneth Kipnis is with the University of Hawaii at Manoa. His article, Impairing Loyalty, Corporate Responsibility for Clinical Misadventure, appears in the September 2011 issue of the American Journal of Bioethics. For more information, visit bioethics.net. That's bioethics.net. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.